there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G Tonight. Sorry about my voice. It's weak, so I'll try to do my best, but you're going to hear it a little grungy. We've all had the cold in my house. We all shared the cold together. I'm recovering now. Yesterday, I was on the Gnostic Informant. Very good stream. If you want to get the revolutionary phenotype short presentation. I think it's changed across the years because I got better and better at it. And I know where the answers lead and the questions lead from the host. So I think I've been improving at presenting the revolutionary phenotype in a way that's compelling and in a way that raises important societal questions across the years. So even if you've watched a previous revolutionary phenotype interview by me, this one was particularly good, I think. End of the line, Joel says, recent interview was good. I was a bit cautious first when he said Judeo-Christian, but it turned out well. Yeah, I don't even know where he stems from, but I like the guy. I really liked the guy. He seems genuinely interested in knowledge, and that's a very good start. I don't know what are his other beliefs. I haven't watched much of his content, but it was definitely a very interesting interview. And yes, I've been on Richard Spencer also. We've been discussing what I will be discussing tonight, which is the resignation of Joe Kent and the very enlightening position of Nick Fuentes on all this. Because even I, as a seasoned observer of politics, I couldn't see the whole scheme that Nick Fuentes put together. And now I see it, and it's like, oh, it's glaring. So there is a whole chain of causality between Elon Musk buying X, Elon Musk wanting to influence the Republican Party, Elon Musk wanting to push for Ron DeSantis first, then getting beaten by Trump, then seeing that he has to side with Trump, then going into Doge, then doing all these attempts at Doge within the government, but eventually getting in a fight, basically, against Trump. We still don't know if the black eye of Elon ultimately boils down to an actual physical fight with Trump. He says it's his child that just bumped his head. I can believe it because my child actually did that to me too. You know, children, when they balance on your knees, they're not being careful and boom, they can give you a headbutt accidentally. But all of this is a progression of an attempt to take over the Republican Party through J.D. Vance, by Peter Thiel, and by Elon Musk to an extent. And I'm extremely worried about it. I'm extremely worried because the dirtiness of the approach, the sliminess of it, the hiddenness of it, when you start seeing all of the symptoms that come out publicly from it, you realize it is a hidden secret operation. There are people who are putting a lot of hope in the fact that either Trump will die, Trump will be impeached or lose power and be replaced by J.D. Vance, or that J.D. Vance will be in a position to win the election in 2028. So this is the situation. Now, for winning the election, J.D. Vance is definitely in a strategy where he needs to distantiate himself from the Iran war. And a lot of people have been saying on the pro-war mongering partisans, they've been saying, no, look, the MAGA base, Steven Crowder, for example, he's been saying, the MAGA base is totally behind Trump with the Iran war. And he said, we shouldn't define the MAGA base as those that leave MAGA. So that is kind of a circular way of getting at it. It's like, well, those people who still agree with Trump still agree with Trump. Well, those people who we still call MAGA are the very people that support Trump in the war. And look, 99.99999% of them support Trump. Well, it's like, okay. But those are not the people who voted for Trump. Those are the hardcore people who will forever stand by Trump no matter what he does. Now, if you want to call this MAGA, that's a thing. But you wouldn't have won the election with MAGA defined like this. You won the election because there were still people properly deceived into thinking that Trump was still sticking to his 2016 promises, that he was still going to be a non-involvement in the Middle East, non-interventionist president, which he actually failed at being even in the first mandate when you look at the Syrian strikes. But still, it was still there in the hope that he would be non-interventionist enough to satisfy a base. But he veered mask off. He veered mask off in a way that is threatening the possibility for the Republicans to win any election going forward. So this is why J.D. Vance has disappeared from the public space. And now they're trying to make some... And they've been trying to do this for so long. J.D. Vance opposes the war. We've had psyops on this about 2 years ago. They were starting to leak cell phone text of J.D. Vance looking good because J.D. Vance was in a chat group and he was telling the others, look, we should maybe consider not going to war with Iran. The very same J.D. Vance that came out publicly and said, the first thing he said as a vice president is we need to strike Iran hard. Why this double messaging? Why? Because they need to deceive people. And this is what leads me to believe this whole Peter Thiel, Elon Musk takeover of the Republican Party is very, very bad. And they need to do it through J.D. Vance. And they need to deceive the public about what they really want to do. And you know what? To an extent, if it was just for Elon Musk and Peter Thiel to enrich themselves or get some government contracts or secure SpaceX or AI contracts with XAI, it wouldn't be that bad. There is even a point at which I'd be willing to support a Republican Party that says, oh yeah, we're just going to be shoveling money down Elon's corporations or down Peter Thiel's corporations. But unfortunately, I believe that if there is that amount of deception involved, if there is that amount of not telling the public what's happening there and putting Tucker Carlson in place at X, an independent creator that Nick Fuentes has revealed is very friendly with Peter Thiel. Apparently, every time Tucker Carlson makes a big decision in life, he calls Peter Thiel. So much more friendly than publicly acknowledged. When I saw the unfolding of all these events over the last 2-3 years, I knew that there was something coming in terms of, well, Elon Musk has a plan. He wants to take over the Republican Party, and he kind of failed. And in a way, I'm like, well, would his takeover be better? Because, hey, Trump is absolutely make Israel great again. Trump is absolutely betraying the American people. Trump is absolutely submissive to foreign interest. But does that mean that the alternative would be better? What is the dark plan that justifies so much deception, so much grooming of J.D. Vance to be in that position, so much psyop work to present us a J.D. Vance that called publicly for Iran war, Iran strikes and strike hard, but at the same time is constantly being pushed through these narratives in leaked text and other forms that are trying to present him as totally uninvolved in the Iran strike? And why this silence? And why the Joe Kent, resignation? You know, this Joe Kent resignation plays in the triangle of Peter Thiel, Tucker Carlson, Elon Musk to an extent, and Trump. Because Joe Kent is actually at the root of why Tucker Carlson called Nick Fuentes a gay guy in his basement. Ultimately, there was a rapprochement between Joe Kent back many years ago, which Joe Kent seemed to show some openness to Nick Fuentes. Now, that is weird in and of itself that a Green Beret who pursues a career in politics would do a rapprochement with Nick Fuentes. That was already bizarre, but it showed that there is an interest in the Republican Party to steal that energy from this special segment of the Republican Party that are the youth, the people who know Nick Fuentes, the people who agree with him. So Joe Kent eventually denounced Nick Fuentes and very weirdly said for his campaign, as he denounced Nick Fuentes, "I stand by Israel. I fully stand by our ally Israel." And now look at his resignation from yesterday. I mean, we'll read it in full because it's like everything that Nick Fuentes would have told you. So you rejected Nick Fuentes, but you're here 2 years later saying exactly what Nick Fuentes would have told you. "President Trump, after much reflection, I have decided to resign from my position as director of the National Counterterrorism Center, effective today. I cannot in good conscience support the ongoing war in Iran. Iran poses no imminent threat to our nation, and it is clear that we started this war due to pressure from Israel and its powerful American lobby." "I support the values and the foreign policies that you campaigned on in 2016, 2020, 2024, which you enacted in your first term. Until June of 2025, you understood that the wars in the Middle East were a trap that robbed America of the precious lives of our patriots and depleted the wealth and prosperity of our nation. In your first administration, you understood better than any modern president how to decisively apply military power without getting us drawn into never-ending wars. You demonstrated this by killing Qassem Soleimani and by defeating ISIS. Early in this administration, high-ranking Israeli officials and influential members of the American media deployed a misinformation campaign that wholly undermined your America First platform and sowed pro-war sentiment to encourage a war with Iran. This echo chamber was used to deceive you into believing that Iran posed an imminent threat to the United States and that you should strike now. There was a clear path to a swift victory. This was a lie, and it is the same tactic that the Israelis used to draw us into the disastrous Iraq War that cost our nation the lives of thousands of our best men and women. We cannot make this mistake again. As a veteran who deployed to combat 11 times, and as a Gold Star husband who lost my beloved wife Shannon in a war manufactured by Israel. Now, those are strong statements. I lost my wife in a war manufactured by Israel. Well, wait a minute. You stand by the Soleimani strike. The Soleimani strike was meant to remove the power of Iran to act within an enlarged territory outside of Iran through their networks. The goal of the Soleimani strike was to enforce the presence of Americans and secure the presence of Americans around Iran so that Iran would be in a position of siege. The actions of Trump throughout all of his presidency against Syria were all meant to give expansion of Israel possibilities and to give positions of siege against Iran. Your wife died in Syria for the advancement of the Israeli Empire. You say it in one paragraph right there. But you can't stand by the whole rest of it and then complain about the one in which your wife died. You can't stand by all of the steps that are meant to attack Iran. Those steps have been spread over 30 years. 30 years of American presidents. Each and every one of them submitted to Israeli interest. Each and every one of them slowly building up the scenario in which we would attack Iran. And now we're at the tip of it. Now we're at the Trump step of literally attacking Iran by destroying the internal regime of it. Now suddenly you have a change of mind. After a whole career, your whole life has been serving Israeli interests in the Middle East. And where I find this letter super bizarre is how can you divide between the aggressions against Iran that you agree with and the aggressions against Iran that you disagree with? What is the difference between the strike of Soleimani, which you praise, the combating of ISIS, which is meant to free the grounds for the American troops to be there and the Israeli troops to be there, to have a whole Iraq covered in controlled areas that allow the Israelis and the US to be more aggressive toward Iran? You can't disagree. You can't agree with the siege while not agreeing with the attack. Because there would be no reason for America to care at all about ISIS if it wasn't that we wanted to establish a siege to be at the door of Iran, to be ready to knock and to be ready to attack whenever the time would come. So I don't know what's going on here, but it seems very fake. It seems very fake that Joe Kent would suddenly adopt basically a Fuentes view of the Middle East. I pray that you will reflect upon what we are doing in Iran and who we are doing it for. The time for bold action is now. You can reverse course and chart a new path for our nation, or you can allow us to slip further toward decline and chaos. You hold the cards. It was an honor to serve you and your administration. The problem here is we are still in an operation of theft. And it still smells like Peter Thiel and Tucker. We are still in a declination of Tucker calling Nick Fuentes a gay guy in his basement. This is fascinating how resilient this attempt is. Because at first they tried to dismiss Nick Fuentes. Now they got the backlash of the internet. Now what are they trying to do here? They're trying to emulate Nick Fuentes. They're trying to develop themselves into, oh, well, you know, I spoke a lot about it, the Iran war being unfair. They are setting up for a Joe Kent, Tucker Carlson, J.D. Vance trio of power that will be backed by Peter Thiel and Elon Musk in 2028. And the way I see them deny the human beings like Nick Fuentes, not engage with them, disavow them, except Tucker, who did speak with Nick Fuentes in the end. The way I see them trying to gatekeep, disavow the human, but steal his talking points, that tells me this doesn't look like something very honest is going on. It looks like they want power to do something with it, but they just have to say these things against Israel. They just have to because it's the market. Because they know in 2028 there will be no way to win a presidency against an anti-war Democrat party. They see the writings on the wall. Stephen Robinson says, is it impossible that Nick is in on it? I don't believe that Nick is in on it. It's possible. I've raised the possibility that Nick will do a sudden reversal and in 2028 be satisfied by kind of a peace offering by J.D. Vance. Now that wouldn't necessarily be betrayal, but for that to be a good move, it would have to be the case. We would have to have insurance from this dark network of people who are organizing this whole psyop of, oh yeah, we've been anti-Israel forever. No. You've been anti-Israel since 2026. Before that, you were actually shooting bazookas for Israel. Before that, you were sending your wife to Syria to serve Israel. So it's like very, very bizarre here what's happening. It's an attempt at covering and stealing. It's an attempt at gatekeeping again. And I keep talking about the layers. The layers of gatekeeping and trying to cut the grass under the feet of a political commentator are endless. They never stop. They tried doing it by dismissing Nick as a gay guy in his basement. They tried doing it by buying X and giving rejected status to Nick Fuentes, the only man in the world, apparently, who cannot have a blue check mark. When you think about the difference, the evolution of Twitter, it's fascinating because we were very early popular on Twitter. Like, I made a living from the early Twitter, becoming a celebrity on Twitter. And then came the Democrats who decided we're going to have this status signal for official journalists. We're going to give blue check marks to everyone except the independent creators and people like JF, people like Nick Fuentes, and it was a vast array of people who couldn't get the blue check mark. So blue check mark was really you need to be for the New York Times or some official leftist outlet, basically. And eventually, and obviously this was meant to contain already, but it was so broad. It was meant to contain any independent thought out of the system. And it's fascinating when you see what Elon Musk bought Twitter for. which is he wanted an entry into the Republican Party. And he distillated the rule of the original leftist down to one person. He said, all right, blue check marks aren't for elites anymore. They are for all of the people, except Nick Fuentes. So we can take in all of the independent creator. We love independent thought. We love challenges. But Nick Fuentes is the one we can never give a blue check mark to. And that tells you who the right that is greedily trying to control political power on the Republican side. It tells you a lot about them. That they can't even give... at this point, the blue check mark, by the way, has become a meaningless status signal. I love wearing it because I remember the days of Twitter where it was corrupted in its distribution. But the fact is, you can get the blue check mark at this point for what, $8 a month, whatever it is. Oh, I think they upped the price a little bit, but it's still very accessible. So why they would distill it down to, well, it's just Nick Fuentes our problem? It's because they want to steal the positioning of Nick Fuentes with respect to the American youth. And it's so dirty the way they're trying to do it. They're trying to do it in a deceptive way. All of these people have not revealed their tied interest. But now I realize, given the speech of Nick Fuentes about this subject, I realized that Tucker becoming an independent creator was all Thiel related. I realized that him deciding that X is his main streaming platform was all Thiel caused and Musk caused. I realized that his conflict with Nick Fuentes was mostly that his boy, Joe Kent, was being one of the non-crazy anti-war people that he was seeing to insert in the administration. I realized that J.D. Vance has been placed as a boy of Thiel and a boy of Tucker inside the Trump administration, that he was what they perceived or what they claimed to be publicly an anti-war candidate. But why the dehumanization? Why the rejection? Why not an open statement about what you're doing? Why the secrecy? DK Shadow says deals made by people in the dark shadows. Exactly. This is where I take the issue. Because if Tucker, Peter Thiel, and Elon Musk, and J.D. Vance were to get on a round table with Nick Fuentes for 20 minutes and were to say, look, we're not going to pose like we have been opposing to Israel as long as you were. You were there before us. You guys were there way before us. But we agree with you now. And we'll stop disavowing you first. And we just want to be honest. We want to take over the Republican Party because we have a couple of good ideas about where the American government should be headed. If it was that open, I would love it. But what I don't like is that each of these people have been hypocritical. Tucker making false allegations against Nick. Joe Kent dropping Nick under the bus and saying, I love Israel, to get into the Trump administration. What the fuck is this? And Elon Musk constantly, I'm friends with Israel. I think I'm part of the Jews. What is this? I don't know. And I'm confused. But I know that all of this story holds together. That the buying of X, the attempt on Ron DeSantis, the Tucker Carlson pushing, the J.D. Vance insertion into the vice presidency, and this whole conception that J.D. Vance wasn't for the Iran strikes when he was, all of this has the signature of P-13 on it. And all of this tells us that in 2028, they will try to put J.D. Vance in place for some plan that they have. And I have yet to fully understand that plan. But damn, would it be much easier if you guys just laid it out. Just come out and say, I want to control the Republican Party because I love America. And this is the list of things I want to do. But we're never getting this. We're getting a play. We're getting a play of mind control on the public space that is not transparent. Whereas when I watch a Nick Fuentes show, I know I'm looking at something transparent. I know that Nick is exposing his thought process, and it makes a lot of sense. When I watch a Tucker show, when I see the moves of Thiel, when I see the moves of J.D. Vance trying to distanciate himself from a strike that he called for, I don't see honesty and transparency here. I see something afoot. I won't be able to last very long, guys, because just let me go sneeze. Marby Dog says, you sound sick. Yes, I've had a cold and it's been ruining my voice. So I won't be able to last long today. But, I just wanted to deliver my thoughts on these things. So that's where we are at. This is 2028 preparation and we still don't have honesty and transparency from the big players. And it's like, guys, this is the internet. It would be so easy to be transparent. Even Mark Zuckerberg. Look at him, very natural and transparent.
And keep creating. Now, Deb from our studios team is joining me. Deb, do you want to take us through some of the exciting games in the pipeline for Quest?
Absolutely. Over the years, we've had...
See the humanness of it? See how just transparent they are? They are developing games and they are putting it in their metaverse, and you should be enthusiastic about it.
The opportunity to work with incredible developers, like Vertigo Games, the studio behind fan favorite Arizona Sunshine.
I love Arizona Sunshine. That game basically got me and my friends through the first few months of the pandemic.
That's awesome. If you enjoyed that, Mark, I think you'll be excited.
See the expressions of joy? That's awesome.
Excited that we're partnering with Vertigo on 5 more great games, from Deep Silver and others. We'll share more about this lineup very soon.
Nice. What else is coming?
Well, the metaverse...
See, genuine human interest by Mark Zuckerberg. What else is coming? He generally wants to know. See, this is how the internet works. Genuine human warm interaction by people who have a heart.
This is constantly evolving. So one of the most important aspects will be live service games that launch updates and new downloadable content regularly, like Echo VR, Beat Saber, Onward, Pistol Whip, and more. We're focused on this a lot right now, making sure games can build out active communities. Beat Saber has a passionate community.
Oh, I love Beat Saber.
So do I. And Beat Saber just passed $100 million in lifetime revenue on Quest alone. It's a great example of a game that keeps releasing fresh content. They've actually been working on evolving the way that you interact with the tracks and feel the music. Also, the team has been working on something really cool. Check this out. I can't wait to play this. And they keep partnering with incredible artists to release new music.
You can't wait to play this? There was just a sword and a cheap crystal. And it's like the sword just... I can't wait to play this. I'm so excited about this sword.
Music packs all the time. Did you play the Billie Eilish music pack last month?
A little more than I should have. I probably should have been working more on this metaverse presentation.
Well, they have a great...
Ooh, a meta reference by the leader of the metaverse. And he's saying our current meta ad sucks. And maybe I should have played less Beat Saber. And maybe instead I should have worked harder on the ad that we're currently filming. Because it sucks. And all of it is meta, because all of this is written and played out like it's some cheap actor thing.
Great lineup of artists for 2022. And there's one more epic surprise before the end of the year. So stay tuned. Okay, have you played Population 1?
I mean, yeah, I love the game so much.
For those who haven't, Population 1 is a thrilling battle royale that is only possible in VR. Since its launch at...
Even that little part right here. Like, that was... Like, this is a written script. And they're trying to act out as if he got spontaneously interrupted mid-sentence. Listen to this.
Population 1 is a thrilling battle royale that is only possible in VR. Since its launch at Kinect last year, it has become one of the Population 1.
I mean, yeah, I love the game so much.
For those who haven't,
she fakes interrupting him, but clearly he wasn't gonna finish his sentence because this is all scripted. So you guys have written a fake interruption of a spontaneous sentence that doesn't end.
Have you played Population 1?
I mean, yeah, I love the game so much.
For those who haven't, Population 1 is a thrilling battle royale that is only possible in VR. Since its launch at Kinect last year, it has become one of the highest earning games on...
All right, all of this to say, we're stuck with... That was apparently a video from 2021. And someone was commenting on this, and it's resurfacing today. Just two humans having a perfectly natural conversation. So just to say, we're surrounded by fakesters. And even the anti-Zionist movement is getting populated by fakers. And I'm starting to think of Tucker as basically trying to develop a coalition of people who will have been on the record saying, we don't like Israel's war. But why are you putting together this coalition? Why are the people who first saw those evils being dehumanized and rejected from it socially? Why are they not being given the check mark? Why are they not being given recognition for being there before you while you were serving that very system? This is where I have difficulty trusting any of it. I have great difficulty trusting Joe Kent, Tucker, Elon, Peter Thiel, because if you have to lie, and if you have to dehumanize the other unjustly, you're in the process of doing a gatekeeping operation that you have to do. You are merely positioning yourself to cover for the people who are anti-war within the Republican Party and trying to develop a credible coalition to get those votes still. But how can I be convinced of the fundamental conviction that you have if you cannot give credit to the people who had it before you? This is what I have to ask. So we have Joe Kent now appearing on Tucker Carlson. Tucker has apparently paywalled this interview. Why do they do that? Well, why do Candace Owens and Tucker always do this weird paywalling at important interviews that people would want to comment on? I don't know. But what do I hear from Joe Kent here? All I hear is you've reached the conclusions of the guy that you rejected years ago. And maybe you should think about why you were so wrong for so long. Maybe you should think why your wife was in Syria. Maybe you should think about why your interventions were in the Middle East. Maybe you should think why you had to say on your Twitter account, "I stand by Israel," just 1 or 2 years ago. Why all this deception? Were you a secret agent of anti-Zionism inside the Trump administration? Tell us clearly. Because I can understand this. I can understand if Joe Kent was saying today, "Look, I had to say I was standing by Israel and deny Nick Fuentes, disavow Nick Fuentes 2 years ago, because it was a trick. It was my trick to get into the Trump administration. I wanted to fuck it up from the inside." That would make sense, but that's not what I'm hearing. What I'm hearing is a guy who is artificially positioning himself for having the credit of an anti-Zionist without having been one, for real. Positioning himself as an opponent of Iran wars, the same way Trump positioned himself against the wars of the Middle East in 2016. And I know where that leads, because we have Trump as the perfect example of this. When you have people of no conviction that can surf on anti-war discourse to elevate themselves to the position of president, but that are not truly anti those wars, what you get down the line is someone who ends up being a president, who ends up serving Israel in some other way. So see, Trump had all of this critique in 2016 of the never-ending wars. So what did he replace them with? Other types of never-ending wars. They're just done by air instead of ground invasion. So that is how a population gets food. And I'm afraid that right now a population is in the process of getting fooled by this new constellation of Catholic anti-Zionist, not war sympathetic people. And Tucker seems to be the heart of the promotion of all these people. That's all I had to say. I have a cough today. I'm going to go rest. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow. What do I have on the schedule tomorrow? Yes, I'll see you all tomorrow, hopefully, if my voice isn't getting worse. Much love.